Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast is on the air, and this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just outside of Boone in the Vilas community. If you take Highway 105 south out of Boone, you will find Baird's Creek Road, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and we do appreciate you listening in today. What a blessing it is to be able to be here. And another year is almost upon us, and that depends on what day of the week you listen to the radio broadcast on. This week, today being the 30th of December, and then Saturday, when we're on the other radio stations, it'll be the new year. So just a little break in the what to say there. But Noah, how are you today? We both come rushing in here and haven't had time to even say hello. So how's your day going?
It's going well, and I'm doing good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those right here on AM 1450 WATA. Out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I want to take just a moment today, excuse me, and mention that it's not too late to sign up for the spring semester of Victory Bible Institute. And we have taught over there for many years now. Back before in the 90s, we taught over there as an instructor. And of course, we had a few years where we were missionaries and lived in the state of Idaho. But since coming back the past 3.5-4 years, we have once again been blessed to be able to be an instructor at the Victory Bible Institute and have part of the ministry over there. And we just appreciate so much the school, all of the instructors, the opportunity. There has been a slew of young preachers and sometimes older preachers to go through Victory Bible Institute. Ladies, we have several ladies that have graduated. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and sometimes people just want to further their knowledge in the Bible. It is a 3-year study course, and the great thing about it is you can jump in anywhere along the way, and you go through the whole 3 years, and you will then be able to graduate that following spring. But the fall semester begins for the resident students, and that include, or that is talking about those who go every Thursday night to Roan Mountain, Tennessee. And we have classes from 6:30 to 9:20, 3 different classes. And so that's how that operates. And then that is recorded. It is put on DVDs for those that would like to hear the DVD or watch the DVDs. We have satellite schools. You can take it by internet where you go and listen to each class. You can complete the homework, send your homework in. We have correspondence students, and so a lot of different ways to be involved in Victory Bible Institute. So if you are interested or know someone who may be interested in that, the spring semester begins January 8th, and then for all the others, and that's residents, but for correspondence, internet, satellite schools, they begin the following Thursday, January the 15th. This spring, the 3 classes that are being offered, Dr. Tull Oaks, he will be teaching New Testament Survey Part 2, and I believe they're picking up somewhere around 2 Corinthians. Then Pastor Kenneth Forbes will be teaching the Book of Revelation, and then the class that I teach is Missions and Evangelism. And my class this year is broken up into 2 8-week sections, missions first, and then evangelism after that. So if you're interested, I would encourage you to call Dr. Jerry Honeycutt, pastor of the Victory Baptist Church in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. His number is 423 772-3848. Or you can go online to vbcministries.com. That might be .org. That just flew across my mind as I that come out of my mouth. Noah's going to look there on the internet real quick. I think it's vbcministries.org.
It is.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you checking that. I wrote that down wrong. And once again, let me give that phone number, 423-772-3848. So I wanted to mention that in beginning today. Well, we hope you had a great Christmas and looking forward to the new year. We are still on the subject of Heroes of Liberty, and we started this back at the beginning of the month of August. And we have taken each week a individual, and we have looked at their life and their contribution to the subject of liberty. And we have looked at people from all different backgrounds, all different time periods, from biblical times up through modern times. I guess the closest we've got is World War II, and we've looked at a few individuals from that time era. And nobody beyond that yet. Not saying that we won't get that far, but we've seen, we've looked at some. We began with Moses, and then we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at his life, his ministry. We looked at some individuals from church history. We've looked at several military figures, generals. We've looked at several individuals from the time period of the American Revolution, the early to mid 1700s. We've looked at different statesmen and those who have, for example, last week we studied about George Washington and the crossing of the Delaware, because that took place on January 25th, 1776, Christmas Day. So we have covered a lot of different individuals, but I was praying about this week and what the Lord would have us to look at, and I just got a individual on my mind, and his name is William Ashley Sunday. William Ashley Sunday. I begin thinking about him, and I've studied about his life, read books about him in the past. He's a very, very interesting individual. He was born November the 19th, 1862. Near Ames, Iowa. Most people would come to know William Ashley Sunday simply as Billy Sunday, the evangelist Billy Sunday. He was called the evangelist of the Sawdust Trail. And I've been refreshing my memory on his life. And my, what an interesting life. His life story appeals to me for many different reasons. But one, he was a professional baseball player for 8 years. And after he got saved, he was a baseball player when he came to know the Lord. And it wasn't long after that that he gave it all up in order to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that day and time in which he lived in, he was offered big money to continue to play baseball. He played for 8 years. He played in the World Series 1 year with the Chicago White Stockings, and just a very interesting individual. His father died serving in the Union Army during the Civil War. He was not killed in battle, but he came down with the measles or pneumonia, something along those lines, and the conditions were just horrible, and he died. Billy Sunday grew up in poverty. He spent about 4 years in a orphanage. It was called a soldier's home, and it was a home for orphaned children. But his mother was living, but she was so poor she could not feed Billy Sunday and his older brother, Ed. And so she had to send them away to an orphanage. They had a stepfather who was a drunkard, and he was mean to them, and he was lazy and wouldn't work. And if you know anything about the ministry of Billy Sunday, you know that he was very opposed to laziness and what he might say, good for nothingness and alcohol and being a deadbeat, all of those things. Well, it stands to reason he grew up around a lot of that. And he saw the effects of it firsthand with his stepfather. But most people would know him, as I said, as Billy Sunday. And the number one reason I would classify Billy Sunday as a hero of liberty is because of his great influence in this nation. His ministry and the influence of that ministry impacted hundreds of thousands of people in the United States of America in the early 1900s. For about four decades, the ministry of Billy Sunday, everybody knew about Billy Sunday. For one thing, he had been a professional baseball player. And of course, at that time, that was America's sport. You know, that, I mean, the whole country was crazy about baseball. And here, Billy Sunday, who was a great player, he got saved and he turned down all the money, all the glory, all the fame to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a very influential ministry at that time. And his ministry, his evangelistic ministry, centered around the liberating power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing about Billy Sunday, he appealed to all classes of people, the rich, the poor, those who were educated, those who were uneducated, those who were somebody that was living on the street or living in a mansion. It did not matter to Billy Sunday, and thousands of people would come out to hear Billy Sunday. And the society lady, as they used to call those who were more well off, the society lady would sit down in the meeting on a wooden pew right alongside a mother that was in poverty, and maybe she had five or six children she had brought along with her to the meeting, and they'd all sat down together. Billy Sunday did not allow any special favors, although people gave huge amounts of money in order to promote and help with the campaigns. They all had to come in together. They all had to sit down together. And so he appealed, his ministry appealed to everybody for many different reasons. It is said that Billy Sunday preached the gospel to more than 100 million people. That is just hard to imagine. No television, no radio, no internet, no megaphones, anything like that. It's just amazing. Now, if you're interested, you can go on the internet somewhere like YouTube, and you can find little clips of Billy Sunday. They would record at that time, or the technology to do this had just come out, but they'd record little snippets of his messages and even play them in the movie theaters. And this is, of course, again, around the time of World War I breaking out, and so just an exciting time in our country. So there's a few audio, there's some audio and some video out there. It's very interesting if you want to learn more, or maybe see a picture of Billy Sunday. But they said he preached to over 100 million people. And what he would do, he would go from city to city and hold revivals. He never pastored a church. He was an evangelist all of those years. And the cities, the believers, they would come together, and they would, this was a huge effort that would take place among the Christians, and they would build a tabernacle specifically for the purpose of that meeting. For example, in New York City in 1917, Billy Sunday held a 10-week revival meeting. The tabernacle was 344 feet long. It held 18,000 people. And this was just on wooden benches that they would set up in the tabernacle. 18,000 people. And you might say, how did people hear somebody in a building that large? And I've studied this out. This is just interesting, the way they they designed the building, and they above where the preacher was, they would have what was called a sounding board. And then they had something like megaphones along, and it would echo the preacher's voice and the choir throughout the building. And he would preach in this tabernacle. He preached there for a 10-week time period. The tabernacle held 18,000 people in New York City. They had special subway trains and buses that were leaving every 50 seconds to bring crusade goers to the meetings. And by the time the meeting started, there was not enough room inside the tabernacle. And thousands of people would stand outside the tabernacle and wait for the next meeting to begin. They would have multiple meetings throughout the day. And you have to keep in mind that, you know, in 1917, thousands of people standing outside waiting to get in to hear a gospel message, a preacher. But it happened over and over again. And you have to keep in mind that the singing would go that. Well, let me put it this way. Billy Sunday would usually preach for 2 hours. Nobody got up and left. Nobody got fidgety. They sat there and they listened to the preaching. That doesn't include the singing. In New York, they had a 2,000 voice choir. And Billy Sunday believed in good music. He said good music would give the devil cold feet. And so none of this entertainment, rock and roll type mentality. He wanted good gospel music. And they'd sing many of the songs that we still sing in church today. And that's one of the reasons. And we were talking last Sunday at church. We had a missionary on Sunday night, and he was talking about, I love the red back book, the church hymnal, and the good old songs, and Amazing Grace. It was through those hymns that Billy Sunday come to know the Lord. He was a baseball player, and they were in a city in Chicago, and they heard a band playing on the street, and they were playing Amazing Grace. And Billy Sunday was just out there on in the town with the ball players, and he said, my mother used to sing that when I was young. And he went over and he sat down on the curb, and he sat there. He said, if they'll play all night, I'll sit here and listen. And one of them invited him to the Pacific Garden Mission. And after a few times of going to church and hearing the gospel, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But it was that music that had an impact upon him to get him where he needed to be. There's power in those old songs. Well, during the 10-week revival in New York, there were an estimated over 98,000 people came forward to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They called it the Hitting the Sawdust Trail. And during these meetings, they would put down cedar shavings for a floor because these tabernacles were built outside. Well, they didn't have a floor, but they'd put down cedar shavings. And J.D. Rockefeller Jr., one of the richest men in New York City, he got saved during this revival meeting. And he said years later that when he would smell the fragrance of cedar, it would remind him of that crusade and what the Lord Jesus had done for him in his heart. I read a book about Billy Sunday one time, and what really got me interested, I wouldn't claim to be in the same room as Billy Sunday, but I would have some things in common, like the baseball playing. But another thing that really caught my attention about Billy Sunday is I read one time that he always preached with his Bible opened to Isaiah chapter 61 in verse number 1. And that verse to me is a very, very near and dear unto my heart, because that is the verse of Scripture that God spoke to my heart many years ago, that he was calling me to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 61, verse number 1, and I'll give just a little bit of my testimony. I was a young man. I was 20 years old. I was in the United States Air Force, and I felt like God was speaking to my heart to preach. And, of course, I'm shy. I'm scared to death. I think to myself, the Lord has surely made a mistake. He wouldn't want me to preach. I'm not qualified. I'm a child. I'm young. And I just put up all kinds of arguments to the Lord. But my pastor at that time, Brother Greg Isle, he told me if God wants you to preach, he will confirm it through his word. And I was reading through the Bible that year, the first time I'd ever read through the Bible. And I come to Isaiah. Well, I went home after the Sunday service when the pastor told me that God would confirm that through his word. And I remember praying and asking the Lord, I said, God, if you want me to preach, you'll have to show me through your word. And I was reading Isaiah chapter 60. I read chapter 60. I mean, I prayed and then I began to read my Bible. Nothing in Isaiah chapter 60. But in my Bible at that time, I turned the page and at the top of the left-hand corner, the words jumped off the page right directly into my heart. And it was Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And boy, the Lord spoke to my heart, and that was confirmation that he wanted me to preach. And that's been sort of my life's desire in the ministry, is to do that very thing, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I've never gotten away from that. And so thankful to have the radio broadcast Blessings of Liberty. So that scripture is near and dear unto my heart. But at the first of it, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. And Billy Sunday always had his Bible opened to that passage of scripture because he knew that it had to be done. The preaching had to be done in the power and under the anointing of the Spirit of God. It was not that Billy Sunday saved 98,000 people in a 10-week time period in New York in 1917. It was that the Spirit of God was doing something special in our country at that time. And they had successful revival campaigns just about everywhere that they went. So that really piqued my interest in Billy Sunday when I learned that. And that's been many, many years ago that I read that. And in my Bible, I wrote this down. It is a quotation from Billy Sunday. And I guess this has been in my Bible more than 20 years now. But Billy Sunday said, and if you want some interesting reading, find some quotations of Billy Sunday. He had just a way with words. And he said this, and this is what I have written in my Bible. He said, I plead not for a modern revival. I don't know anything about your modern dope. Mine is as old as the cross of Jesus, is as old as the nails that were driven through his hands. He said, I plead for an old Pentecostal revival that will make drunkards sober, that will make thieves to steal no more, that will make blasphemers to pray, that will make men who are keeping somebody on the side and disgracing their wives and children go home and be decent, that will make deadbeats pay their debts and transform this old, God-forsaken, whiskey-soaked, Christ-baiting, Sabbath-breaking, Lord-damning, harlot-ridden world into a paradise of peace and benediction and blessing. And I've had that in my Bible many, many times. That's encouraged me. And Billy Sunday, one thing about him, he always would tell his congregation or the audience, the people that came to hear him preach, he would say, I have nothing to offer but old time religion. He didn't try to adopt to the times. He just tried to do what the Lord led him to do. And he said, I have nothing to offer but old time religion. Many times that's how he would begin his sermons. And he would go on to say that he preached the old fashioned religion because death was as old as man. and that man, with all his genius, has never been able to change it and never will. He said, you will die in the old-fashioned way. You will crumble to dust in the old-fashioned way. And if you are lost, you will go to old-fashioned hell. And a lot of people are not used to this kind of preaching. Now, in the South, maybe even today, people would might be familiar. They might say somebody was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Well, that's the kind of preacher that Billy Sunday was, but not everybody was used to that kind of preaching. And so Billy Sunday, he's preaching up north in New York, and people were wondering how this country boy from Iowa is going to get along in New York. And that's how he started his ministry up there. But he not only said that you'll, if you die lost, you'll go to old-fashioned hell. He said this. He said, but if you are saved, it will be in the old-fashioned way. And he would say the way of the cross leads home. And he'd begin to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and point people to him. He had a certain way with words. He said many sayings we could talk about Billy Sunday, but he was very anti-alcohol. And he said whiskey and beer are all right in their place, but their place is in hell. And so might be surprised to hear the preacher say whiskey and beer are all right in their place. But then he would say, but their place is in hell. And boy, he was anti, he was against the liquor crowd and the saloons and the houses of prostitution and all of those things. Many times when Billy Sunday would come to town and hold revivals, so many people would get saved that the saloons and the houses of prostitution would close down as a result of the revival. I've got just a couple of minutes left talking about the ministry of Billy Sunday and his impact and influence in America can still be felt today. A few years ago, we had a missionary come to our church over at Mount Lebanon, and he is actually from Indiana. And the missionary told that he had been in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, a little town outside of Pittsburgh, and he went there to preach a meeting for a pastor. And so the missionary and the pastor, they are in town during the day, and they stopped at a gas station. The missionary and the pastor go in, they come out, and the missionary said to the pastor, he said, I notice they don't sell alcohol in here. And he said, you know, this close to Pittsburgh and there's no alcohol. And the pastor told him, he said, are you kidding? He said, Billy Sunday preached a revival in this city. And at that time, it was almost 100 years ago. He said, that's why there's no alcohol sold in this town, because of the influence and the ministry of Billy Sunday. Well, Billy Sunday said the trouble with many men is that they have got just enough religion to make them miserable. And I ask today, before we close, how much religion have you got? Religion is not the same thing as a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It's not about being religious. It's about having a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our time is coming gone. We hope you have a great new year. I do want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Be safe and may God bless you. And boy, we need that old time religion once again right here in America. Noah, you go ahead.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.